program starring Robert L. Ripley with B.A. Rolfe, his orchestra, and lovely Linda Lee, presented by Post 40% Bran Flakes, the largest selling Bran Flakes cereal in the world. Post Bran Flakes have a wonderful nut-like flavor different from any other cereal. What's more, eaten daily, Post Bran Flakes bring you extra benefits by providing bulk food in your diet. And adequate bulk is necessary for keeping fit. So for a wonderful cereal that not only tastes good, but is good for you, enjoy Post Bran Flakes, the delicious cereal that helps millions keep fit. And here's that truly trustworthy tribune of triumphant, transcending, transplendent treats. Believe it or not, Bob Ripley.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to the program tonight. I have here in the studio two people whom I consider the most remarkable, believe it or not, I've ever had the pleasure of presenting.
But, Bob, don't forget the believe it or not problem you gave us last week.
Oh.
Tell me, what United States territory is ruled by a foreign nation?
Well, that territory, Linda, is the Corn Islands in the Caribbean. The United States bought them in 1914 when they were considering constructing a canal through Nicaragua, which they will probably do very soon. And although these islands have belonged to the United States for 24 years, they are still ruled by a Nicaraguan governor, believe it or not. B.A. Rolfe and his orchestra start things rolling with You're an Education, OK, B.A. Believe it or not, drama tonight occurred during the World War. The time, 1917, when the German submarine peril struck terror to the hearts of even the bravest sailors. Our scene opens at the office of the Admiralty in London. The director of the intelligence division is talking to the captain of the merchant ship Vincent. Captain Weicker speaks.
Commander, I would like to know why I cannot have these orders in writing.
Captain Weicker? These are Admiralty regulations. Absolutely nothing in writing. You are to proceed with the SS Vincent to latitude 41 north, longitude 48 west. There await our wireless directions. Those directions will come in Admiralty's special code.
But our radio operator wouldn't know that special code, sir.
So that's all attended to. A signalman, Henry Brandon, has been detailed to make the trip with you. He knows the code, and he will decipher the messages for you. Are those orders clear, Captain Weicker?
Perfectly, sir.
You'll be in the danger zone, Captain. Those German submarines are equipped with wireless direction finders. So under no conditions are you to communicate with the Admiralty. In other words, you will receive messages, but you must not send them. That'll be all.
Captain Weicker. What is it, Sparks?
The same message, Captain Wiker. This time I've tried to decode it with every third and fifth letter, but it still doesn't make sense.
Then it won't make sense unless our signalman Brandon recovers consciousness. Fractured his skull 3 days ago, and since then we've been like blind men. Brandon has got to pull through.
Captain?
And Dr. Eckford, quick, how's Brandon? Is he conscious yet?
Captain, it's all over. Brandon's dead.
Oh, good Lord.
I couldn't save him. Fractured skull, cerebral hemorrhage, he didn't have a chance.
And with Brandon dead, we don't have a chance. Why did he have to die? The only man on the ship who could give us our directions. Heavens, man, do you realize the spot we're in?
Why don't you wireless the Admiralty?
That would be suicide. Every submarine in the German fleet would be on our necks. And we're in no hurry to be torpedoed. I tell you, only Brandon could have gotten us out of this.
Captain Wiker, there's a periscope 300 yards off the port bow.
Man the gun!
Man the gun!
Quartermaster, set zigzag course!
Zigzag course it is, sir!
Captain, she's submerging. She's doing a crash dive, sir.
Fire!
She's completely submerged.
Captain, look, sir. Something's bobbed up on the surface.
Why, it's floating. It's a man. It's a man.
You're right, it is a man. We've got to get him.
Lower life, fellas!
Lower life!
He's unconscious, Doctor, but he's still breathing.
I'll give him this hypodermic. He'll be out of this in a second. There.
Wait a minute. Captain, you know this man, don't you?
By Jove, it's Ayer Hazelton. He's an Englishman. He was my first officer on this very same ship 3 years ago. Hold on, I think he's trying to speak.
What happened?
Easy, man. Take it easy now.
But how did I get here? This is my old cabin. Am I going mad? You're Captain Wiker, and you're Dr. Eckford. Am I dreaming? I thought I was on a submarine.
What were you doing on a German submarine, lad?
She wasn't a German submarine. She was British.
British?
Yes, sir, the D6.
Well, how did you ever get out when she went down?
A ship fired at us as we submerged. I was in the conning tower at the time. It wasn't closed tightly, and the pressure must have blown me into the ocean. I can't understand it.
Captain, the same code message just came through again. Still can't decipher it.
We'll keep on trying.
Aye, aye, sir.
What's the matter, sir?
Our signalman Henry Brandon just died. He was the only man on the ship who could decipher the Admiralty code.
Was he using the Admiralty special code?
Yes.
I was chief radio officer aboard my submarine. I know that code. I can decipher that message for you.
You're heaven sent, lad. The instructions in that message mean the life of every man aboard this craft.
That was the most amazing rescue in all the annals of the sea, and can be verified in the records of the British Admiralty. It seems that Providence blew a man out of the sea, out of a submarine, into the very path of the ship. Not only was he a former officer of the ship, but he was the only man who knew the code by heart. And within a few minutes, the ship was on its way to safety. Believe it or not.
B.A. Rolfe and his orchestra play Why Do I Love You? Lovely Linda Lee sings.
This is my first affair, so please be kind. Handle my heart with care, oh please be kind. my dreams are on parade. If you'll just understand, they'll never, never fade. Oh, tell me your love's sincere, oh, please be kind. Tell me I needn't fear.
Sweeping the country. Nowadays. What do you say we bat one back and forth, huh?
Okay, Ford. What was the original meaning of the word generous?
Why, I suppose it meant what it does now, liberal, open-handed.
You're wrong, Ford. Generous originally meant highest quality.
Okay, Linda, but speaking of that, let me tell you the name of a cereal that's not only of the highest quality, but also gives you a real generous value. It's Post Bran Flakes. Yes, folks, Post Bran Flakes are the cereal with a plus. To begin with, you couldn't ask for a finer tasting, more delicious cereal than these crunchy golden brown flakes, but that's not all. In addition, Post Bran Flakes, eaten daily, help supply the bulk food many diets lack, possibly your own. And adequate bulk is necessary for keeping fit. So start enjoying Post Bran Flakes with your very next breakfast. Enjoy their really different nut-like flavor. Ask your grocer for Post Bran Flakes, the delicious cereal that helps millions keep fit. Bob, this week in Europe, they certainly have been making history, haven't they?
Yes, Ford. This has been a week of astounding historical happenings. The map of Europe has been changed before our eyes. We have seen one country entirely taken over by another country without a single shot being fired. We have seen a man who was once an obscure house painter in Vienna return in triumph to his native land. Last Tuesday was the Ides of March, March the 15th, and on that day Hitler stood on the balcony of the Imperial Hotel in Vienna and announced to the cheering multitude the union of Austria with Germany. On exactly the same date, 1,901 years ago, in the year of our Lord 37, another conqueror stood on the same spot and proclaimed the annexation of the country to the Roman Empire for times eternal. That other conqueror was Pontius Pilate, the same Pontius Pilate who was Roman governor of Jerusalem when Christ was crucified. And 1 year later, Pontius Pilate committed suicide in his palace in Vienna, which stood on the same spot the Imperial Hotel stands today. A few years ago, I visited Schönbrunn, that beautiful castle of the Austrian emperors outside of Vienna, and I noticed in the center of its beautiful park of giant hedges a pole surmounted by the golden double-headed eagle of the Habsburgs. The old caretaker explained to me the ancient belief that if this eagle fell from its perch three times, Austria would be no more. Records show that it first fell on July the 4th, 1776, on the first American Independence Day. The Golden Eagle fell down from its perch and was shattered. It was replaced, and it crashed a second time on July the 29th, 1883, and on that same day, in Predappio, Italy, in a little house of a blacksmith, an infant was born. His name was Benito Mussolini. And unnoticed by the world at large, on last New Year's Day, 1938, the Golden Eagle fell and crashed for the third time. And it's surpassingly strange that it indicated the fate of Austria, for Austria has ceased to exist, believe it or not. Believe it or not, business, there often comes to my attention examples of courage in the face of overwhelming odds that are truly inspiring. And it's seldom that I'm able to present two live, believe it or not, on the same program of such gripping power as those who are my guests this evening. First, I would like to recall our Christmas night program. At that time, I presented a blind musician, and we told of a touching episode that led to the hope of creating a national orchestra for the blind. In direct response to that program, an amazing musician was brought to my attention. Ladies and gentlemen, I present Clarence Grogan.
Good evening, everybody.
Mr. Grogan, you have been blind from birth, haven't you?
Yes, Mr. Ripley, I have.
Yet despite that handicap, you have made a good living and a fine name for yourself.
I've tried to.
Would you tell our listeners what you are doing now?
I am now teaching music in the Pennsylvania Association for the Blind at Pittsburgh.
Yes.
I heard your Christmas program and was so interested in your idea to help blind musicians that I wrote you.
And I thank you. And now you have a musical, believe it or not, that our audience will enjoy, I know.
Yes, I call this musical, believe it or not, my fortune puzzle. I'll first play Dixie with the right hand. Now, Yankee-Doodle with the left. Now, Dixie with the right hand, Yankee-Doodle with the left. I've played Dixie with the right hand, Yankee Doodle with the left. I shall repeat the two melodies, and at the same times, with the thumbs only, I will play Mary Had a Little Lamb. Listen closely for the three melodies. To round out my fortune puzzle, I will sing way down upon the Swanee River, play Dixie with the right hand, Yankee Doodle with the left, and Mary Had a Little Lamb with the thumb.
All right.
Way down upon the Swanee River, far, far away, there's where my heart is turning ever, there's where the old folks stay.
Thank you, Clarence Grogan. You just heard Clarence Grogan, who is 51 years old and completely blind since birth, perform an amazing musical feat. He has presented a fortune melody puzzle, believe it or not. And now my next Believe It or Not drama takes us back 8 months. The place, an industrial school in Norfolk, Virginia. As our scene opens, we find Ruby Lytle, a secretary, walking through the workshop. She has just stopped to talk to a young man of 20 who is humming as he repairs broken toys. She speaks to him.
Good morning. You're a newcomer, aren't you? I said good morning.
I'm sorry, Miss Lytle, but he can't talk.
He can't talk?
He's never spoken a word in his life.
Why, I just heard him humming.
That's right. He's always humming.
Well, if he can hum, maybe I can teach him to sing.
It sure would be a noble effort, Miss Lytle. Like a miracle if that boy could use his voice for something.
And that boy did learn to use his voice for something. I've asked that boy who can't talk and that young secretary who volunteered to teach him to sing to be my guest tonight. They came from Norfolk, Virginia to be with us and to give us a sequel to that meeting 8 months ago. Ladies and gentlemen, I present Mr. Sam Graham and Miss Ruby Lytle. Miss Lytle, is it true that Sam Graham has never talked?
Yes, Mr. Ripley, that's true. Doctors say that it is impossible for him to talk because of an injury suffered when he was a baby.
Yet I understand that in 7 months, you have taught him to sing 6 songs. You should be proud of that.
He's been so willing and eager that he deserves all the credit.
Do you suppose he could greet our radio audience by singing words instead of talking them?
He will try. As a matter of fact, we've been practicing. Come here, Sam. Sing a greeting.
Good evening to you.
Oh, that's fine, Sam. That's fine. And Miss Lytle, do you think Sam will ever get to the point that he can sing just like we talk?
I'm hoping so.
Well, we all hope so, too. Now, do you think that Sam would like to sing for our radio audience?
He'd love to. You see, his mother's listening in down in Chester, Virginia, and I'm sure he'd like to sing A Gold Mine in the Sky for her.
Fine. A Gold Mine in the Sky. Thank you, Sam Graham. Miss Lytle, you've performed a miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard Sam Graham, a 20-year-old boy who has never spoken a word in his life, sing A Gold Mine in the Sky. Only 8 months ago, Miss Ruby Lytle started training his voice, and though he still cannot speak a single word, he can sing, believe it or not.
Thank you.
886 years ago, I'll get this right soon, I hope, Ibn Daud, the ruler of Persia, told his people they could always rely on him to lead them in battle if they would promise to keep a horse ready for him. And although he has been dead 8 centuries, they have kept their promise. Until this day, in the city of Meru, where I've been, there's a white charger, fully equipped, standing ready, awaiting the call of the Shah.
Well, while we're talking about promises, Bob, here's one I'll make to all our listeners. Friends, when you come down to breakfast feeling tops after a swell night's rest, I promise you, you'll keep right on feeling that way if you begin your breakfast with a big hearty bowl of swell-tasting Post Bran Flakes. These crunchy golden brown flakes have such a really different and delicious nut-like flavor, they add a welcome new note to any breakfast. But friends, swell flavor and crunchy goodness aren't all you get in Post Bran Flakes. For this is the cereal with a plus. These delicious flakes, eaten daily, help supply the bulk food many diets lack, including perhaps your own. And adequate bulk is essential for keeping fit. So the first time you go to your grocer, ask him for Post Bran Flakes. Start at your next breakfast to enjoy the delicious cereal that helps millions keep fit.
Bob, it's problem time. What have you got for me to worry about this week?
Oh, plenty, Linda, this time. Now, tell me, where is Lolo?
Lolo? You mean Lulu?
No, not Lulu. Lolo. L-O-L-O.
Well, I never heard of Lolo. Where is she?
It's not a she, Linda. Lolo is a place. You know, I've often asked this question, and I've hardly ever found anyone who knew the answer, although you can find it on any map. Now, if our listeners then will look hard and see if they can discover it, before next Saturday night. Where is Lolo? The birds of San Juan Capistrano return today. Each year, for the last 161 years, on this same date, March the 19th, the famous swallows of San Juan Capistrano have returned to their nests in that old Spanish mission in California. I have just talked with Padre Hutchinson on long-distance telephone, and he told me the birds arrived at dawn this morning in a vast singing cloud. And the good father included in his evening prayer, his evening services, this prayer for the birds, which I think applies to all travelers through this vale of tears. Let me repeat it. May the Lord bless you, guide you, keep you, and return you always safe and sound.
Enjoyed this program, won't you start at your next breakfast to enjoy the cereal that makes it possible? Post Bran Flakes. This is Ford Bond saying good night and keep fit.
Keep tuned in, folks. In a few seconds over most of these stations from Hollywood, you'll hear that cut-up of comedy Jack Haley and Virginia Verrill, Wendy Barry, and Ted Fiorito and his orchestra. This is the National Broadcasting Company.